Hi, Madeline.
Hi. Hi, Rhonda.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Very good.
It's good to hear your voice.
It's great to hear your voice, too. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, there are a couple of things.
Okay.
And it has to do with balance, finding balance for myself in a couple of areas. One is really making the distinction between following up with prospective clients and chasing clients. I'm all these things go off in my head around, chasing people.
Well, that's a great distinction to make. And what's your second point?
The second one is around attracting clients and assertively going after clients, kind of not waiting for clients to come to me, but out there really, and not on the hunt looking for clients. I think if I could get the distinction clear, get my mind wrapped around those, I could find the balance more easily. All these negative things go off in my head, these messages about, not pushing yourself on people and not, all these old messages are going off in my head.
Yeah.
And so it's this balance thing.
All right, great. That's a perfect thing to work on, and so you want to come away with more distinction on both of these points.
Exactly.
The difference between following up and chasing clients, and the difference between attracting and assertively going after clients, not really waiting for them to find you,
exactly.
And not really being on the hunt.
Exactly. Not wanting to be on the hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much tension that it even sounds so tension-filled when I talk about that.
Yeah, so
and I think the other distinction for me, Rhonda, is around patience and experiencing myself like the tortoise and the hare, I know I'm in this for the long run, and that's a balance point for me also.
Great. Yeah, you're talking about some things that I'm really thinking a lot about these days, sustainability. How can I sustain my work? How can
exactly.
I sustain my income? How can I, those kinds of things, or grow them? Great. So I'm wondering if maybe there's a story that you'd like to tell, something that brought this up for you.
Well, there are a number of them, but one of the experiences that I just had, maybe a half an hour ago, was that one of my clients referred an executive at a corporation to me, and he sent me an email asking me if I would have time available to talk with him, and I sent him back an email. And on the bottom of my email is my niche signature.
Right.
Which he did not feel included in, and was...
Because he's not an African-American woman.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't say, well, are you a leader? do you fit into that category? But I didn't go there. But he was very angry with me that I had defined my niche in the way that I had, and was really pushing me to just get rid of that signature and have a more expansive, inclusive statement. And I tried to explain to him that it was really clear to me that that was a niche that I use for my marketing and the niche that I really want to attract. And I coach everyone. But that distinction was missed by him. So.
Yeah. Well, I want to make a distinction here, which
mm-hmm.
is that I'm imagining that you don't coach everyone. I'm imagining that you coach everyone that is an ideal client for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And is it possible that this person is not an ideal client for you, the individual who got upset. And what's this person's first name? Let's just talk about him that way.
Jeff. His name is Jeff.
Jeff. Mm-hmm. So Jeff got upset and pressed you to change your email signature because he wasn't included in it.
Right. He felt excluded.
He felt excluded, even though it does say specializing in.
I emphasized that with him. I said that.
Yeah.
And he went on and on and on about, you know, he doesn't make a distinction, and he didn't think I should make a distinction, and I should be looking for anybody who'd be willing to pay me.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's not a coach. That's one thing. And he may not know or understand that to run an entrepreneurial business, it really helps to become an expert in something, which is what you're doing.
Yes.
So tell me about, as you started to try to help Jeff understand why you did this, how did the call end?
He does want to coach. He wants me to coach with him because my other client has told him how helpful I was to him. And so I think he certainly accepted the sample coaching session that I offered to him because I said it was important for both of us to see if the fit, if the chemistry was there, because that's when the magic really happens. So we've scheduled a sample coaching session, but he was reprimanding me as he got off the phone, even to the point of hanging up.
Excuse me for laughing. I'm not laughing at you. I'm wondering what might be going on for this individual, and since we really can't know, we'll focus on what's going on for you around that. So how did you feel when you hung up the phone?
Well, I felt very anxious, like, oh, my goodness. And I said to him, you know, I've worked very hard to articulate my niche. And as an African-American woman who has worked in corporations, I know that that is the target audience that I really want to support. And I know that I'm very skillful at supporting other people who are in leadership positions in corporations and in other places. And I'm very open to coaching them. And you're right, I don't coach everyone, but I certainly do not make a distinction of eliminating people based on gender and race.
Right.
But I do specialize in leaders. I don't want to just coach anyone. I want to specialize in leaders, and I really want my niche to – I want to become an expert in coaching African-American women leaders.
Well,
I mean, when Time Magazine decides they're going to write another article on African-American women executives, I want to be quoted in that article.
Absolutely, and that is 100% possible. And with you, Madeline, I believe it's going to happen. Absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you know, as you're talking to me, it sounds to me like you're very, you know, your convictions are 100% behind your niche and the way that you've articulated it. It sounds to me like you're certain about it. So, what would you like to do about this?
Well, I know I'm going to have to face him, one. But I think I really want – well, I know I'm going to have to face him. And my signature is going to be the same. Although, you know, I like the idea of every once in a while adding something or changing it. Not my niche, but my signature, just to, you know, give a new message or something. But this is a test for me to stand on my conviction of who I want my niche to be, who I want my target audience to be.
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head there. I think it is sort of a test, and you passed with flying colors because of the way that you – it sounds like compassionately but also firmly explained where you stand on this.
Well, I know he's going to be pushing back on me as we start our sample session or as we end our sample session. And I want to – and he was very expressive in his strong beliefs. There's a lot of emotion behind that of feeling excluded. And so I don't know that I can make him feel included. I don't know if there's anything else that I can say that would make him feel included. So I think I'll just focus on the sample session and be attuned to where he is and responsive to where he is.
Great.
And give him a good sample session. And
absolutely.
And if he hires me, that'd be great. And if he decides that there's not a fit, I'll release that.
Or if you decide there's not a fit.
Or if I decide. Oh, that feels so empowering. If I decide that there's not a fit.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you about that piece. You felt anxious when you got off the phone, and it sounds like maybe just a little bit of an attack by him. Is that, am I reading that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And does that give you any red flags about whether this person might be the right person in your practice?
Well, you know, it's interesting because the red flag that went up for me was very much within me. And it has to do with white men being angry with me. And the consequences of that have not been positive in my life. You know, to take a stand in opposition to either what a white male is telling me I need to do or I better do or...
I'm guessing Jeff must be a white male.
Oh, yes, he is.
I know he's a male, but...
Yes, no, he is. He
yeah.
definitely is. And the client who referred him to me is a white male who I've coached for some time, but...
Mm-hmm.
It brought up these old memories of my, I mean, I could start back in third grade with Mr. McLaughlin, you know,
sure.
My third grade math teacher. And, you know, it has not, having white males angry with me is not something that I seek out.
Me neither. Me neither, yeah. Well, I can really understand that. And I'm wanting to connect the dots a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to start doing that?
Yes, absolutely.
So the first dot that I want to connect is with your experience in your lifetime as an African-American girl and now a woman, and how in your lifetime there have been times where you felt that you had to be in opposition to white men, or white boys maybe even, and that brings up stuff for you. So that's
yeah, you know, it's interesting because it was never with white boys.
Okay.
It was with white males in authority.
Ah, okay, so the authority
positions.
Piece is in there too.
Absolutely, and their attempt to fizzle me out.
Yeah.
To make me more, is the word pliant? You know, like
pliant is a great word for that.
You know, just trying to fizzle me out.
Now, what do you think? Just connecting the dots again.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the lesson is that you can bring from your past into this current moment, and also into the future, with regards to things like this, being faced with, for example, angry white men.
Well, you know, part of what just came up for me, because when I first took that question in, I didn't have an answer to it, but what comes up for me is that my lesson is that I'm okay with Jeff being angry with me.
Excellent. Excellent.
Which is awfully freeing.
Yeah. So you're okay with just being angry at you.
I am okay
he
with
can
just
be angry.
Being angry.
He has a right to be angry, and
mm-hmm.
and anger is just what? What is anger? What is it really? What is it to you, Madeline?
It's what?
What is it to you? What is anger?
Well, I guess it's a way of turning whatever's going on inside of oneself and targeting it out to someone else.
In this case, yes, it sure is. And sometimes it can be a way to move into to change.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes anger is a gateway to change. So there's an opportunity for Jeff, but what's really important is the opportunity for you, and I think you've
right.
already put your finger on it. So the first thing is to be okay with Jeff being angry at you, which you are.
Mm-hmm. I am. Yeah. Boy, that feels calming. I
yeah.
am. I really
yeah.
am.
And it's great. You know, it's incredibly mature, for one thing. People will feel a lot of different things, and it's a lot easier for us to be in relationship with other people if we just let them feel what they're feeling and not think necessarily that it's something that we have to do something about.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so that's great. Now, the other dot I wanted to connect was really to your agenda, because you're talking today about making a distinction between follow-up and chasing
mm-hmm.
and between attracting and asserting. How do you think this fits into that?
Well, I think that this whole thing of finding a place where I can stand that feels comfortable for me, so that the distinctions are within me, not just in my head or not what people are telling me, but that, you know, I find the spot where I feel like I know I don't want to be chasing after people, and I know I want to be very disciplined and very much in integrity with following up and, you know, doing what I tell people I'm going to do, or if I'm going to call you, I do. The problem I have is when I call or leave a message and then someone doesn't call me, you know, do I keep calling or do I not call? So I think that the point of distinction I've got to get comfortable with within me. The same way that I can now say that instead of having this panic about Jeff being angry with me and kind of scurrying around trying to decide, well, do I change my niche? Do I change the signature that's on my email to the point where I can say, no, I'm okay. I'm okay with the selection that I've made, and I'm okay with Jeff not being okay with that. I'm okay with Jeff being angry with me. I want to come to that same point with knowing where follow-up is and where chasing is.
Okay, good. Well, I just want to say it sounds like you are either there or very close to there with Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
I
think I'm there with Jeff.
Yeah.
I think I'm definitely there with Jeff.
And you could even say that to him if you needed to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could even say, I'm okay with my niche and specialty, and I'm okay with my signature. I hear you're not okay with that, and I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, he gets validated and you stand strong and he can decide what his next step is.
I like that.
Yeah. Can I test the waters a little bit?
Absolutely.
So let's say you have this fabulous sample session with Jeff and then he says to you something like, well, Madeline, I'm just not comfortable with your niche. Or I'm just not comfortable with your signature. And if we're going to work together, that needs to change.
I wouldn't have any hesitation in saying that they're neither are going to change. And if that's
prerequisite,
yeah, you know, if that's the deciding point, then you know, I'll regret that we're not coaching, and that's okay.
Yeah, if that's a deal breaker.
Deal breaker. That's the word I was looking
for.
Yeah, if that's a deal breaker, then the deal is broken.
yeah. And you could bless him. And
yes,
go
and send him on his way.
Mm-hmm.
And I could even give him the name of some other coaches.
Yes, excellent. You know, and there may be a coaching opportunity there. Who knows? You'll have to wade softly into that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he continues to be upset about it, but he really wants to hire you, you might be able to ask him a couple of questions around it. Just, you know, what is it about this?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a way to diffuse, you know, let him talk about it a little bit so that you're showing interest and trying to understand. But I think standing firm is really going to be important for you and important for Jeff, too.
Yes, and sounding strong.
Sounding strong
and standing firm.
Yeah, yeah. So it doesn't sound like this story about Jeff is a sort of an example necessarily of not making either one of these distinctions. Is that true? That it's not you've made the distinction. You're really clear about that you will follow up with him only up to a certain point.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm clear with Jeff.
Yeah.
I'm clear with Jeff.
Good.
And I think that that probably would not have even been one of the balance points that I would have talked about unless it happened a half an hour before our scheduled session.
On your mind.
And I still felt myself reverberating from that.
Well, it's always interesting to get challenged, and it's always an opportunity. And I think what you did, Madeline, is you met the challenge by staying clear and clean, staying with yourself, and staying with your niche and specialty.
That's just it. You know, one of the things that you do so well, Rhonda, is that you give me such caring and precise language to use to really see the point that I've come through. You know, it's like your language lets me know that I've gotten to the other side of it.
Well, excellent. I'm so
glad.
Well, you have. And you continue to do that. You just keep continuing to do that.
Great.
Yeah. So is there another story maybe that relates to making the distinction between follow-up and chasing and making the distinction between attracting and asserting?
Well, the follow-up and chasing, you know, I've been really going after a client in a major corporation, and she just has not been – every time I've talked with her, she's very eager to get started and to, in fact, expand the possibility of my working in the corporation with even more African-American women leaders. And yet, you know, it's been 3 weeks at least since she's returned my phone call or an email. So,
since you called her?
Yes. I was the last to call her. And just checking to see where she was with her conversation with the VP of her division, and she, you know, just where she was in that process of making executive coaching something that would be quote-unquote acceptable in the organization. And she just hasn't returned my call yet. And so, I mean, I'm starting to feel like if I continue to call her, it's going to be chasing rather than following up. So part of me wants to say, okay, that's enough. You've contacted her. I've given her the encouragement to hire me as her coach without needing the approval of the corporation, or if she feels that she needs the approval of the corporation to do that would be fine. But not hearing from her leaves me just not knowing how to interpret what's going on.
Right. And part of you wants to say that's enough.
Part of me definitely wants to say, okay, that's enough.
And the other part wants to say,
she really needs support right now.
Okay.
I mean, I've listened to her. She needs support right
okay.
now. And it's almost as though her not following up is a way of demonstrating not supporting herself.
Yes, I think that you're probably right about that. And I'd like to just highlight something for you in your language here. Part of me wants to say that's enough. And when you said that, Madeline, that sounded pretty strong. It sounded like, let me just say to me where I sit, it sounded like the business part of you went,
mm-hmm.
that's enough. That I have done all that I need to do, all that I intend to do, boom. You know, it's the ball's in her court now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that sounded very strong and very clear. Was there anything else behind that language that I might have missed?
Nope. I think that, yeah, no.
Yeah.
As I listen to you, that's exactly how I feel.
And then the other part of you, when I asked about that, you started to talk about what she needs
mm-hmm.
and what you perceive would be good for her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you see as the difference between those two things?
Well, you know, I really hear the distinction. I know that I go to, I really do hear it. It's like there's a caretaking place
yep.
that really is probably very insulting to her, would be very insulting. There's a caretaking place.
Yeah.
There's a place in me that is having her be out of awareness. There's a part of me that has her not knowing how or willing to take care of herself.
Yeah.
And
do you think that might come across energetically somehow?
I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
Sure
you know,
it's
funny, these things. They're very subtle. You probably haven't said anything to belie this information, and yet you're carrying it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple of things about this. And I really appreciate the fact of how aware you are. This is wonderful. One is that you don't have a contract with this person yet.
That's true.
Yeah. So you're not even on retainer yet. You're not even, you know, technically.
And I'm putting all this energy.
Yeah, technically you're not even in a co-creative relationship yet. And even if you were, this wouldn't be co-creative, would it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're right. You are absolutely right.
So I think the only piece that you might be missing here, and this is going to help you make the distinction between following up and chasing, is what is your motivation? For you know whatever it is that you're feeling or thinking around follow-up, what is that? What's motivating that? So in this case, you've already identified it. It sounds like caretaking. It sounds like you.
Mm-hmm.
That the word that's coming up for me is lack of trust in Judith
mm-hmm.
to take care of herself
mm-hmm.
and to know the right timing and
mm-hmm.
all those kinds of pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
And what do you think the motivation is? Is that motivation have a name?
For what I'm trying to do with her?
Yeah.
Oh, I think caretaking really, for
okay.
me, sums
okay.
that up.
Well, that's
is there another word that you were thinking?
That's great. I just wanted to hear it from you. So the sort of MO that you might have that you're ready to change is to go from when a client doesn't immediately sign up with you and you've called them, you've done your part, the feeling goes to caretaking.
Mm-hmm.
So the opportunity for you is to shift away from that and what would be a more powerful, more business-like, more appropriate, co-creative place to be.
Well, you know, it's okay, let me tell you what just hit me in the head, and
yeah.
that is what an insult it is to think that I know better what she needs than she does. So that whole caretaking thing, I can really get that I need to shift away from that and much more to a respectful and accepting place with potential clients, of really being able to hear and accept where they are and what their decision is.
Yes.
And not have to hear the decision in words, but also in actions.
Yes.
I mean, her not calling me back is a way of communicating to me.
Right. And it's not that you can't ever follow up again.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you already know there's going to be a point of no return, you know, there. You're not going to follow up forever. You've even had this happen before. I know you've shared with me. I'm thinking of one other potential client that you've mentioned that, that just kept saying, yes, yes, I want to do this.
Yes,
and
Sally.
Wouldn't really come to the, the table.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you've got a finger on this, and tying it back to your conversation with Jeff and the way that you said, I'm okay with Jeff being angry, it's the same kind of thing here. You need to be okay with Judith not getting back to you. You need to be okay with Judith not having the time or whatever it is.
Good.
Being okay, really.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another piece, too, that I'd like to put in here, which is that there are some things that you can do and say, and maybe you already have, to set up sample sessions and conversations and things like that so that you are you're setting them up for completion, for enrollment into your practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about here?
Tell me.
Yeah, the language that you have with Judith, for example, I don't know exactly what's transpired. So if I'm covering something you've already done,
okay,
just let me know. But when you do call her and leave a message for her, you can leave specific time frames, make specific suggestions, tell her that you have space in your calendar now for this, and may not always.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some things that you can do to put a sense of urgency on it.
Okay.
Might sound something like this. This is your voicemail message, assuming you're not going to get the... Oh, that's letting us know that we're almost done with time here.
Okay.
So you might be able to say to her, Judith, I'm sorry that I've missed you again. It's been 3 weeks since we last talked, and I think it might be helpful if I just set a timeline on this and say, let's get back to each other within the next week and get going on this. I would suggest that here's some times where we could meet regularly for our sessions, and you can pick from those, and let's have a start date of August 1st, and see what I'm saying? You're leaving specific information for her,
yes,
so that what you're saying to her is, this is what I want, Judith, and here's the timeline I have, Judith, and I hope you can fit into that, Judith, and if you can't, I'm willing to come up with other, you know, look at other options if it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you're saying to her, here's my deal.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's excellent. That's very helpful.
There's the both and piece of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're setting it up for the best success you can possibly have and for always being a business person, you know, being clear, being a great communicator, and if you don't get the call back, being okay with that person has issues or time frames or something in their way or who knows whatever it is, and then you can just say to yourself, well, let's see, a reasonable amount of time to follow up with Judith would be a week from now.
Yes.
And then when you leave that call, again, you go with the time frame.
Great. That's really, I can do that.
All right, good.
Yeah, no, that I can do that. It's very helpful to hear a script that way and what it might sound like.
I'm wondering if you can extrapolate from here. This is about following up versus chasing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if you can kind of extrapolate from here the attracting and asserting piece, and maybe we can talk about it next time.
Absolutely.
Would that work?
Yeah, that would. That'd be great.
All right, good.
That would be great.
So are you all right with completing here?
I am. This is very good. This is helpful.
You've got something that you can use now.
I absolutely do. And I feel very prepared to talk with Jeff when we have our sample coaching session also.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, I just appreciate your strength so much.
Oh, and, thank you.
You know, I think even though it kind of went around in your head, maybe you would change your signature. What didn't go around in your head, and I'm so proud of you for this, is not ever thinking that you would just stop using your niche.
Right. No.
And, you know, if you wanted to make an adjustment from time to time in your hub statement, your signature,
mm-hmm.
in order to include somebody, you could do that. The only downside to it is just that you might not remember, you know, because this is your marketing. You want it to be easy. So it's a choice that you make, and I like the choice that you've made.
I do, too. It feels so congruent.
Great.
I do, too.
All right, good.
Yeah.
So
this is great.
Oh, excellent. And we are on for next week.
Absolutely.
I look forward to talking with you then.
I do, too. Have a great week.
You, too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.